Welcome to the eGovernance Academy podcast to discover the future of governance. Tune in for the Digital Government podcast every Wednesday.
Welcome back to all our listeners to the Digital Government podcast. Here is your usual host, Federico Plantera, journalist, sociologist, and researcher. And today we go on introducing the main speakers of the upcoming e-governance conference that will happen in Tallinn from the 10th to the 12th of May. And it will be in a hybrid format, so you can follow it either offline physically here in Tallinn or also online. Today's guest is Vitaly Friedman. Vitaly Friedman is an author and a UX designer and many other things, and specifically, he actually participated in some projects that somehow, as he says, like introduced, let's say, his presence to the conference. And so, Vitaly, first of all, thanks for joining us. And second, at this point, I will let you introduce yourself somehow.
Yeah, thank you so much, Federico. Welcome, everyone. My name is Vitaly, indeed. And for the last, 15 to 20 years, I've been exploring the vast parts and remote corners of the web, being a front-end developer for a while, then becoming designer, then kind of jumping back to accessibility, then moving to performance and all of that. And we all have been quite busy over the last couple of years for obvious reasons. But I kind of really moved in the last few years towards really complex projects, which really brings me to the conference, I think, in the first place. One of them being right now kind of working on revamping the navigation, search, filtering experience on the entire galaxy, and this is how it's called internally, galaxy of European Parliament websites, and there are approximately 150 of them. So that's not an easy task, but it's just very symptomatic, I guess, and kind of symbolic in a way as well, to understand really what the complexity of all those incredibly, incredibly vast and huge applications, enterprise applications, information systems, and government projects are out there. And that's kind of where I am right now.
Yeah, because Vitaly, indeed, you have worked with organizations of all shapes and sizes. Let's put it this way. The European Parliament that you have mentioned, but also Hof Lexware, Axel Springer. And the name of your session, indeed, the title of your session at the e-governance conference is indeed Designing for Complex Systems. I would start first with, there are two components here, of course, like one is design and one is the complex systems. So let's unpack them a little bit. Let's start from the latter. So the complex systems. What are these complex systems and what makes them so complex? And are they actually complex ultimately?
Yeah, that's a very good point here, because when you think about complexity, it's really important to have a very clear definition of what it even means. I mean, on the one hand, it could be just a sheer amount of information that needs to be consumed, that needs to be organized, that needs to be presented in some way. And that requires a lot of kind of systematic approach, I guess, in terms of how are you going to deal with search, with navigation, with filters, with sorting, with all those things. On the other hand, it also involves, and this is kind of where this complexity really comes into play, it's not just the sheer amount of information, but somebody has to produce that information, somebody has to publish that information. And especially if you're dealing with a lot of actors involved, from editors to, I don't know, proofreaders to anything in between, you have literally hundreds of people who are publishing. And they will be publishing with different rules in mind, with different guidelines in mind. It's kind of creating some sort of alignment. It's a different layer of complexity. And then on top of that, you also have sometimes systems which are not just informational systems, but more really enterprise software where you are supposed to manage processes, people, timelines, really complex transitions of, you know, being financial transactions, be it, you know, B2B world, where you have so many different dependencies, that makes things really complicated. And then on top of that, and this is probably the last layer, you have sometimes just expert knowledge domain or expert domain that you kind of have no idea about. Like one of the examples I will bring up is a dental care applications, where I would have no idea how to operate it because I don't have any expertise in that area. So every time you go to a dentist, watch out for what enterprise applications that they're using. Very often they're extremely complex. They require some skills and knowledge. This is why, you know, it's not easy to become a dentist, right? And so when I speak about complexity, one important thing to understand there, for me at least, is, you know, even although things might be inherently complex just by their nature, by the expertise that they require, by the sheer amount of data that they manage, by the sheer amount of processes that they kind of try to connect and structure and manage and all of that, it doesn't have to be complicated to end users. So somebody who has to operate search on a really complex information system, they need to be able to find answers to their questions quickly. That's my goal, right? That means helping them kind of maybe define better queries, maybe avoid dead ends, maybe make it just more difficult, way more difficult for them to make mistakes, right? And in the end, even a very complex system that's underneath, you know, has all these incredible dependencies, does not necessarily have to be complicated or appear complicated or even work in a complicated manner to people using it, right? So that's kind of the moving part of it, I guess.
But I hear here that there are like different elements that you have mentioned. For example, you have mentioned knowledge, you have mentioned data, you have mentioned design, you have mentioned like applications. Like, so how do each of these elements fit into, let's say, the topic of designing complex systems? Like, can we, I don't know, give not a taxonomy, let's say, and not even like a glossary, but just like placing them, let's say, in the in the context?
That's a very good kind of angle on that as well. This is what I'm always trying to do, actually. Instead of really diving into every individual complex use case, I try to think about patterns that I can reuse, right? And so when I think about, let's say, stock exchange market or any kind of government informational system, I don't really see them as these beasts that we always imagine in our heads. Instead, I see something like a box switch where you can put some search results or filters or anything like that. You will have probably also some filters on this in the sidebar. You also have some navigation between pages, right? So I always think about, okay, what do I need to do now to make it extremely like crystal clear how to navigate from one page to the next? How do I make it very, very obvious where somebody is at the moment, where they can go next, and how they can actually get to the goal which they want to achieve in the first place, right? What tools do they have there? So that can be very basic. Like, it's a really good idea that the search box looks like a search box, right? I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's kind of useful, I would say. And on the other hand, maybe a search box alone isn't enough. Maybe it needs to have this autocomplete where you have the suggestions showing up. Maybe it needs to have some extra filters embedded into it. So this is where you kind of start moving in that direction. So for me, navigation is always very important. And there are so many parts of it, right? Because there is, you know, breadcrumbs, there are mega dropdowns, there are global navigation, language selector. You have also filters, again, as I mentioned, right? So all of that is a part of it. So I always try to think about really reducing, I guess, this level of uncertainty that you often get when you end up working with these complex systems into something that's just obvious to everyone. And that usually means, you know, making things as obvious as they can be. And, you know, one important thing to mention here is that it doesn't mean that just reducing everything to something very, very simple. It's just not going to happen because you have really, really complex systems there. But maybe by producing or adding tools and providing some sort of governance in place, you can ensure that at least things are not inconsistent, and I think at least they're not broken, and at least we're not slowing down people at the time when they actually want to speed up and actually find an answer to their questions. Right? That's also a very important consideration there, which kind of always brings me to this point of thinking of patterns. I kind of trained myself almost for the last 5 years or so to just not even pay attention to things that I don't understand on a screen that I'm operating on, right? Just what do I see? Is it data? Is it dropdowns? Is it filters? Is it navigation? Is it search? I don't even see what's behind the scenes because I don't even understand it anyway.
Yeah, but actually from the perspective of an end user, you're not even, I mean, you don't even have to understand, let's say, what's happening like in the background. Now, if I'm an end user of and I want to go, I don't know, to a website of the European, of one of the European institutions, let's say, and I'm seeking a certain information, then I don't really need to know like how that information is being provided to me, let's say, like what is the chain of command, let's say. That
yeah, absolutely, Federico. You're absolutely right, because I think that in many ways, one of the common mistakes that we often do in large and small organizations, in small companies and big companies, it doesn't matter, we always tend to reflect the organizational hierarchies and the structures in a way of how we organize our projects and our websites and our digital presences. And very often, this is just totally not visible or not even clear to end users who just happen to land somewhere through a search engine. they just have no idea that there are all these dependencies. And again, as you said, of course, they don't need to know. They need to know how to find a particular piece of information, find out what the price is, find out what document, what piece of legislation helps them to achieve a particular goal, right? That's what they need to know. And then, unfortunately, very often, when you think about especially government projects, institutional websites and so on, digital services in general, while some of them are moving very clearly towards user-centric design, where, you know, we are asking people what they want to do, and then based on what they want to do, we drive them to a particular page. On the other hand, you find a lot of websites where you need to find the right institution. It's like, I don't know, whenever somebody asks me about what is it like, I always compare it with just calling an institution on the phone. You're going to be calling one number, you're going to be forwarded to another number, and then from that number, you might be forwarded to another number. And that's very often how the navigation on the web feels. So, and it shouldn't be like that, because again, on the web, we have a very dynamic medium where we could just give people pointers, and hopefully, if they're clear enough, people will understand where they need to go to find an answer.
In this sense, do you think that this, the example that you just made, do you think it could be taken also as one of those examples of a process that maybe like already existed in a analog or like semi-analog form and has been somehow just replicated, let's say, in the digital sphere without actually properly intervening, let's say, on it with the potential, let's say, that the technology could bring to improving that process in terms of like the tools that are used, the organizational structure behind it, etc.?
Yeah, I think it's actually a very typical pattern that you can see not only in that particular case, but in general. One of the projects I was involved with was actually transferring, it's a company who was transferring print processes, think about large insurance companies, governments and so on. And very often you would go in and you have to fill in that form, and that form has, I don't know how many pages, and then you have to submit it, and then it's going to be processed, and then you're going to get a reply, and then you need to revise it and resubmit it or anything like that, right? And in many ways, what is happening as well from a different side of this entire complex world of ours is that very often, for example, these PDFs that we have basically just transformed one-to-one into digital. And again, not really using this beautiful dynamic nature of what we could do on the web, where we could actually hide all of this complexity or all of the things which are irrelevant or useless or just not important for end users and show only those things that are important to them, right? If you have a PDF, you're showing everything to everybody, right? If you have a dynamic medium in a digital journey, you could show things only when you know that people need them by asking meaningful, relevant questions up front, right? And so I think like you're absolutely right. I think that this pattern where we're just applying certain things in certain way of thinking from one medium to another, it does work, but it's usually slow and it's not going to be optimal in this new context in which we're operating, which is, of course, digital.
And this is where instead design can contribute to simplifying this. So I mean, personally, this is like my personal view. Like when I hear, I mean, I've heard, let's say, the word design being, and UX also like being thrown around here and there, like almost whenever possible, let's say in the past, let's say 5 to 7 years, probably also for a certain tendency of certain public administrations, because I'm speaking about the focus on the public sector, probably have a tendency of certain public administrations to sort of like look at the private sector, see what the private sector is doing and saying, okay, they're doing this. Like this is the hot word right now. Let's take it and just absorb it and see what we can do with it. But then more specifically, then when we talk about designing complex systems for public administrations or government institutions, what are we talking about? Like, what is exactly the role of design in this? What does designing the complex systems mean? Because we talked about the complex systems. Now, let's talk about the designing.
Yeah, so I think one of the critical parts is how do we even display information? So I think, again, another very typical example is that whenever we're using search, right, we are kind of used to the fact as citizens, as users, as publishers, we're just used to the fact that we end up with search results. We just get search results, we click on those links, and then we'll find the page that we need, hopefully. But why are we doing this? I mean, why do we actually get accommodated with search results? Shouldn't we just get answers to our questions? Right. So if I type in, let's say, if I'm looking for a particular document or for a particular date, right, shouldn't we just be linking, not instead of linking to that PDF, we could actually be providing answers that are provided in that PDF without even going there. For example, if you're looking for a faculty in a university, right, and you want to learn about when is it going to, like when the new semester is going to start. Normally, you would have to go to the faculty page and then find a particular page which would be highlighting that piece of information, and this would be your journey, which usually would take time. But instead, you could say, well, I'm going to type in my faculty, let's say philosophy faculty, in search. And why could this search not be more meaningful? Why could I not be able to see right away in search results already when my semester is going to start? Why do I need to go somewhere, right? And so this is kind of one part of it where I think in many ways we're kind of moving people, kind of expecting that people are moving in a particular way to particular pages and then they're going to find that information, but we can actually surface that information faster. That goes to the way of how we're presenting so many things, from search results to news to organizations to you know, the way organizations work, right, to services that people can opt in for. For example, another typical situation where design can help in is, you know, very often you would need to find the department and, and then from the department find the person who's responsible maybe for your particular, you know, thing that you actually want to fix or whatever. But instead, wouldn't it be better to just have a big box on the front page and say, what do you want to do here? Just tell me what do you want to do. And it's a drop down and you maybe have, I don't know, 15 options. Like I want to book an appointment, or maybe I want to pay my bills, or maybe I want to pay or find something about services, or maybe I want to find a company, right? And you click on that thing, on that option, and then you have another selection maybe. So what specifically do you want to do, or where? Like I want to book an appointment. Well, where do you want to book an appointment? So you have institutions, right? And this could be another list. And then you do this a couple of times and you have like three or four clicks maybe, and you are going straight to the page which is of relevance to you without ever going to the actual website that's responsible for it.
But Vitaly, correct me if I'm wrong, then this means in any case not just reducing the, I mean, as you said, actually, it's not about reducing the complexity, but then at this point, from my own perspective, I would say it's about reducing the fragmentation and the dispersion.
Yes, absolutely. Because you're absolutely right.
It's like when, for example, there is like a statistical research to be done or like a census data to be collected, and then the answers that you should give are not open-ended, but they're all close-ended. And at that point, of course, like it's much easier to identify the patterns, and it's probably also like a much easier way for the machine, quote-unquote, to take you to the place where you're aiming to go.
Yes, that too, of course. But it's also about just being able to navigate that complexity more comfortably, right? So you might have, essentially, if you, this is kind of what I think I learned in the hard way. If you dedicate just enough time to understand what people want, right, and help them drive there, you can even build it as a layer on top of the existing very complex system so people will be able to navigate there. Right, it's kind of this extra abstract meta level layer, if you like, right, which people can use to deal with all the complexities that are hidden behind the surface, right? And I think one thing that's really very underestimated is actually trying to understand what is it that people do on our site. I mean, there is so much content that's being produced very often without even having a strategy to archive ever. Like you will find sometimes websites that are maybe 20 years old, and there are like not a single page has been deleted for 20 years. And of course you could say, well, we need archive. Well, maybe it should then leave an archive rather than be on a regular website where, you know, you start searching and then you get 8,000 results, which you have no idea what to do with, right? So we need to have this level of archiving strategy, kind of content strategy really, and then governance when it comes to how we publish, how we delete. Nobody's speaking really about when do we delete anything. We always speak about how to produce more, and we produce more websites and things get more complicated because there are all these dependencies and connections in between, right? But we never have conversations about how do we delete things, right? So that's
probably
as an outcome of that, you end up with a lot of data that's really difficult to digest to everyone, really. And that also isn't maintained over time.
But that's probably also because no one, I mean, or maybe almost no one is talking about do we delete and then how we delete, no? Like, yeah. I don't know if like if in from your point of view, like these two questions like overlap. But actually, I had another question in mind, which was about the example that you were making before, no, about like leading to the answer in a way, no, or like in any case, displaying the answer like as soon as possible, like in the most direct way possible. And it is, does that imply then that from the user side, the user needs to frame and phrase its question, like their questions, let's say, and like what they're looking for in a more precise and specific way? Meaning, let's take the example of the Faculty of Philosophy that you mm-hmm. said before. Let's say that I'm looking for information about the start of the next semester. And the next semester is in, January 2022, let's say. So I go to the website, I go to the search, let's say, to a search box on the website of the university, and I type in philosophy faculty course beginning semester. But for example, I don't put 2022, like I don't put the academic year. Like at that point, wouldn't it be better, let's say, for me to have displayed like a number of results where I can see which one is the correct one, because I have misphrased or like I have not asked my question too accurately, let's say, but that has at the same time not required me, let's say, to increase my asking skills towards the machine,
Yeah, well, you could be very precise and you know, try to find the information in kind of really expecting or not expecting, but providing very accurate and very thorough input. But that also makes you, makes it a bit more difficult at times for users to do so. So in fact, if they could get some suggestions, that would be great. In fact, one of the most useful things that we ever been kind of thinking of integrating is having actually the ability to surface what other people have been searching a lot at a given time. So if you look at, for example, government services, and one of the most popular ones, or famous ones, not popular, is gov.uk, incredible platform which has done an incredible work on really revamping the entire gov.uk system with all the different departments and institutions involved to make it more user-centric. Incredible effort. I can only applaud to my colleagues doing the work there. And in fact, you know, it's remarkable how simple it has become compared to how complex it actually still is under the surface. And the way to do that is through design. Very often that means just really trying to understand what do people do, right? What do actually people do on our website? And that means, you know, involves of course looking into analytics, but also just talking to people and trying to understand what is, you know, for example, typical search queries that show up. And so what they ended up doing, and I think it's just gold really, on the homepage, at the very top of the homepage, so, which seems to be like this holy golden area, which you want to, you know, put, I don't know, important campaigns or anything like that in, right? They just highlight top 10 most popular things or topics that people are searching for at the moment on the site. Because there is a probability that if you are, let's say, if there is a time to file taxes, right, then you probably are looking for tax forms. Right. So if many people are doing that, maybe you are interested in that as well. And I know it sounds like a very typical pattern that you will find in news websites and so on and so forth, right? But it's in many ways, it's really trying to understand what do people do on the site and then surface that information. Right. And so that's kind of a part of, I don't know, enabling, I guess, people to find what they don't even know that they need faster, and also help them find what they actually do need. And that also works with kind of showing them suggestions. But in many ways, it doesn't, I mean, we can support both. We can support people being very precise and very exact. And also people who just want to explore, okay, what faculties are out there? Maybe it's not just philosophy that interests me, but something else as well.
Vitaly, this episode essentially has just passed like super quickly. So we'll just, since I have to wrap it up though, I would like to ask you one last question. And it's a question that essentially like introduces even more, let's say, like more directly your session at the governance conference. And it is indeed, why then designing complex systems matters for government organizations and the public administration?
I would say most of the time is because the way of how we're organizing and creating those websites today isn't really working. So most of the time when we start looking into data and ask people, internal users, external users, do you find the information that you want to find on this very website? There is a very high chance that, you know, the people who are using your website just don't find it relevant at all. So why do we do all the work? Why do we do all the work producing all this enormous content, amount of content, never archiving anything, everything being just published out there and actually never used? So that's just a waste of time, resources, and effort, to be honest, for no good reason. So I'd rather have something that's very focused and that people can just go ahead and use right away. This is the purpose of why government projects or government institutional websites, government digital services exist. We want to help people solve tasks at hand. And if we produce too much and we produce content in a way that it's not really relevant or difficult to digest or consume, or services are difficult to find, then we're just not doing our job well enough. Because, you know, we are using public funds to create and maintain those sites, so we better do a good job at that, helping people do what they want or need to do, right? That's our task. Unfortunately, very often this is not quite the way of how it operates. And this is there is no wonder why, again, many people in many countries just don't really like government websites because they never find anything there. So it's probably about time to change that.
You can find Vitaly at the upcoming e-governance conference. As I said, I will just remind everyone that it's happening between May 10th and May 12th in a hybrid format. So either physically in Tallinn or online at 2022.egovconference.ee. But Vitaly, that's it for today's episode. And thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much, Federico. It's been a pleasure. And I hope to see everyone in Tallinn in May. I'm very much looking forward to coming back to Estonia.
And also to all the listeners of the podcast, and also to all the people who should definitely like join our conference that is coming up in May. That's it for today, and just tune into the next one.
This podcast is brought to you by eGovernance Academy. Tune in on next Wednesday.